Morning. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul tells the Christians living in Colossae that he has been praying for them, and he continues to pray for them. In fact, he goes as far as to reveal to them kind of the content of his prayer. Here's what I've been praying for on your behalf. Prayer for me is kind of a funny thing. When I pray, how I pray, when I fail to pray, all that kind of varies from week to week, month to month, day to day, kind of season of life to season of life. Sometimes there will be a particular need that may kind of dominate my prayers. There might be a particular person or a group of people or situation that kind of drives my prayers for a period of time. There have been times in which there's a passage of scripture or a particular verse or truth that will kind of be a focus, and I'll find myself a lot of time spending on that. There have been periods of times where I'll take weeks or months and just kind of pray through the Lord's Prayer, or Psalm 23, or Psalm 84, or 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Just different verses or truths that kind of catch my attention, and they become kind of the dominant part of my praying. I did an informal survey amongst the ministers and had them list the prayer request they most often hear or have received. And there were eight which immediately made the list. And on the top of the list, hands down, was health, as far as frequently asked prayer request, health. And then the others just kind of came in randomly. Employment, marriage, relationships, finances, major decisions, travel, and loss. Now let me say right up front, there is nothing wrong with these kinds of requests. Nothing wrong at all. These types of requests demonstrate faith. They also demonstrate a love that we have for people. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." So Peter says, whatever's on your heart, whatever causes you anxiety, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you care about, pray about those things. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Cast all your anxiety. Anything, everything, place that before God. So, praying about all of these things, any of those things, is good, right, appropriate, legal, however you want to say it, all that is good. But as I thought about the list that we compiled, those eight things, what I found revealing was not necessarily those things on the list, but what was left off of the list. Sometimes it's not what is on the list that gives you the most insight, but what's not on the list which provides some insight. That even though it happens, it's not nearly as common for someone to request prayer for spiritual growth or knowledge of God or strength of faith. And that just being a request by itself. There might be people who come and say, "Yeah, I'm going through this situation at work or at school or in my family. And will you pray about that? And will you pray that in the midst of that, I will demonstrate faith or my faith will grow?" And again, that's good and that's right and that's an appropriate area to be praying about. But it seems that most often, when we talk about spiritual growth, it's often tied together with something. Again, that's good. But it's interesting that very seldom does spiritual growth become the request, apart from anything else. Will you just pray that I will grow spiritually? Will you just pray that I will grow in my knowledge of God? Now, some people might say, well, that's a given. That's just a given. Spiritual growth is a given. I don't know. If we can say that's a given, couldn't we say health's a given too? Or major decisions, that's a given? Or aren't all those things just a given? Now, seldom is spiritual growth by itself, without anything else, a request for prayer. Now, it's been said, what we care about, we pray about. If you really want to know what's on someone's heart,
If you really want to know what's bothering them, if you really want to know what they care about, what they're concerned about, what their priorities are, if we could just listen in on their prayers. Not necessarily the prayers that they pray publicly, but if there would be some way in which we could just listen in on their prayers, hear those things they're praying about, it probably would give us some idea of those things that they really care about. So, if we use that criteria, what's important to you? What do you care about? Our country? Yeah, those areas of greatest concern. Family? What we care about, we pray about. So what's the subject of your prayers? I began to think about this because of what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1. If you would go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1 if you're not there already. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. As Paul tells the Christians in Colossae what he's been praying about. And as I read through this prayer, I was a little bit challenged and convicted by what I found. Let me just read through what Paul writes. Chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Paul writes, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." And now here comes the prayer. "And asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, let me just say one more time. It's not that prayer is about health or relationships or family or children or country or kids or job or travel or finances, that those are wrong. Those are all completely appropriate and right. But I find it interesting that Paul doesn't mention any of those items in this particular prayer. So I just want to go down through here and take note of those things that Paul says that he does pray about. Those things that he is praying about as he thinks about these Christians living in Colossae. Paul asks God to fill them with the knowledge of His will. That's one of the requests in this prayer. To help them see and understand what God is doing in the world. To help them see the bigger picture of what's taking place and how they might fit into what God is doing. That they may know that there's more to life than meets the eye. More to life than just punching the clock and putting in our time. Because Paul knew that quite often we get so focused on the things right in front of us that we fail to see those other things that God's doing. In fact, sometimes we get so focused on the things right in front of us that we fail to see how even those things might fit into this bigger thing that God is doing. You know, raising our kids or raising our parents, however you fit into that equation. Sometimes, in the midst of all of that, we fail to see that these people who are right in front of us are people who are loved by God, people that God is in the process of shaping and molding them. And we forget to see this bigger picture that God is allowing us for a moment of time to interact with these individuals. So Paul prays that God will fill them, that God will fill us with the knowledge of God's will. And Paul says that this will come, verse 9, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This knowledge of God's will is not something that we just naturally come up with. It's not something we just normally think about. Seeing the bigger picture of what God is doing is not the normal way to think. Paul knows it will take the work of the Spirit to help connect all the dots so we can see how this works. Paul says, "We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord." Paul's prayer is that the outcome of this knowledge is not just more knowing. There is a knowing element to our faith in Jesus, a knowing element to the kingdom, but knowing itself is not the point. Knowing is to produce a changed life. The Bible describes disciples as those who obey all the commands of Jesus. Well, Paul's prayer is not that we simply know God's will or we know God's commands, though knowing is essential, but the knowing will produce a life that is worthy of the Lord. Paul goes on. Paul prays that we may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, that the knowing that we're growing in and this changed life that we're living will please God in every way. Wouldn't you love to live a life in which you knew everything you did was pleasing to God? You just knew. Everything you did, every word you spoke, every interaction you had, that was pleasing to God. Wouldn't you just love to live that kind of life? Well, that's the type of life that we would love to live. How often do we pray about that kind of life? How often do we make it our prayer that that will be the kind of life that we live? Bearing fruit in every good work. Help me go out of the way to speak positive words to people today. Help me to go out of the way to do something kind for someone today. Help me to go out of my way to just encourage someone, lift someone up who is struggling. Help me to go out of the way to serve the other people in my home without expecting anything in return. Help me to go out of my way to serve the other people in my home, even if I don't really feel like it today. Paul says, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. In verse 9, it's growing in the knowledge of God's will. Here in verse 10, it's growing in the knowledge of God. And that knowledge of God, the more we come to know God, it just seems like the bigger and bigger God gets. It's a knowing that never stops. Paul says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Paul's prayer is that these believers and us will be spiritually strong. Strengthened with his power to be able to overcome temptation. Strengthened with his power to be able to do the right thing. Strengthened with his power to be able to confess sin. Strengthened with his power to be able to extend grace. Strengthened with his power to be able to forgive and not hold a grudge or be bitter. Strengthened with his power so we can humble ourselves. And this power doesn't come by just trying harder. I'm just going to try harder to forgive. I'm going to try harder to be humble. Now, this power comes only through God, that we might be strengthened with his glorious might. And here again, Paul's prayer is not just growing in our knowledge of God or knowledge of God's will for knowledge's sake, but knowing which produces living. So that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints and the kingdom of light. And as Paul prays this prayer, it seems there are some things he just wants us to know. Just even in the way he prays, there's things he wants us to know. Verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is Paul's prayer for the Colossians and Paul's prayer for us. And it is an amazing prayer. But as I read through that prayer, I had to ask myself, how often do I pray this kind of prayer for myself or on behalf of someone else? How often is this the kind of prayer that I pray? I pray about health. I pray about your job. I pray about your relationships. I pray about your marriage. I pray about a loss you may suffer. And all those are good and right and things that we should be praying about. But how often do I simply pray for spiritual growth? For myself or for someone else? You know, I had to wonder if there aren't times in which those things that I do pray about work against God instead of for him. I pray that a difficulty that someone's facing, that will be removed. Well, what if in the midst of that difficulty, God is helping someone to grow in their faith and be ready so that down the road, when something even bigger comes, they'll be prepared. I'll pray that God will take care of something for me. How do I know that thing that I want God to take care of isn't something that he's using in my life to produce faith or patience or humility? And I ask God to remove it. And again, there's nothing wrong with praying for those things. And it's not as if I pray those things will be removed, that I'm messing God up. As if God's going to say, oh man, I was going to keep that there. And all of a sudden he prayed and I don't think that my prayer trumps God's wisdom or God's grace. But I think what happens is I become frustrated thinking God's not hearing my prayer. God's not listening to what I have to say. When the truth is, God in His grace is saying, I hear what you're saying, but you've got to trust me on this one. How often do I pray for the spiritual growth, the strengthening of faith for myself or someone else? This morning, I want to suggest a different way to pray. And this won't be different for some of you. This will be something some of you are very familiar with. For others of you, it may be something you've heard about but not done. Some of you, this may be brand new. It's simply called praying scripture. Praying scripture. Which means we allow our prayers to be shaped by the words of scripture. We allow those to become what shapes our prayers or even the words of our prayer. And this isn't something new. This has been around for a long, long time. If you go back and look at many of the prayers in the Old Testament, what you'll find is that many of those prayers pull in truth from the scripture. If you look at Jonah's prayer, most of what Jonah prays when he's in the belly of the big fish comes right out of the psalm. He's allowing scripture to shape his prayer. If you look at how Jesus prays, look at the what we call the Lord's Prayer. Many of the words and phrases used in what we call the Lord's Prayer are phrases right out of the Old Testament. When Jesus begins the prayer and he says, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. And I've got to believe that when the Jews who heard that, who had the Old Testament, many of them memorized, when the Jews heard that, Our Father who is in heaven, holy or hallowed is your name. And many of them may have thought of Ezekiel chapter 36. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. This was part of this Old Testament prophecy about the coming kingdom and the coming Messiah. And now as Jesus prays, he uses this phrase. And right after this phrase, your kingdom come, your will be done. Or as Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Praying scripture, allowing scripture to shape or become our prayer. So here's something that I started doing this week in response to this passage of scripture, Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to continue to do, at least I don't know how long, but through this week, I'm just going to ask you to join me. I just encourage you, challenge you, however you need to be motivated to do that. Dare you, I don't know. I'll double dog dare you, whatever it takes. But I would like for you to commit to use this passage of scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And at least for this week, on a daily basis, pray these verses for yourself and for at least two other people. Now, you can do it more often than once a day. You can do it for more than just two other people. But at least every day for yourself and two other people. Now, I have taken this passage and in the bulletin I've kind of reworded it, but I've taken out the use and replaced it as if it were a prayer that I was praying. So I just want to read down through here and kind of show you. If I were praying through this passage of Scripture, here's what it might look like. So I've included I, if I were praying for myself, and then I just picked a name, Frank, and threw Frank in there too. So that you kind of see what this would look like. So if I were going to be praying through this scripture, it may look something like this. I'd probably begin about midway through verse 9. God, I ask you to fill me with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I pray this in order that I may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of who you are, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might so that I may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to you, who has qualified me to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, For you have rescued me from the dominion of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of the Son you love, in whom I have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If I were praying this for Frank, God, I ask you to fill Frank with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I pray this in order that Frank may live a life worthy of the Lord and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of who you are, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that Frank may have great endurance and patience, and may joyfully give thanks to you, who has qualified Frank to share in the inheritance of the saints, the kingdom of light. For you have rescued Frank from the dominion of darkness and brought him into the kingdom of the Son you love, and whom Frank has redemption, the forgiveness of sin. I just want to ask you to pray this prayer for yourself and at least two other people every day this week. Just to commit to do this. And if you want to pray for other things, do. Please do. But set aside some time to pray this on behalf of yourself and some other people. In fact, I just want you to practice that right now. So we're just going to take a moment, and I will be quiet. And I'd like for you to just kind of read down through this, first praying these words for yourself, and then just pick one other person and go back over it and read down through here again, praying this prayer for that other person. So just take some time and do that. Amen. It's interesting as I go through this and pray this in behalf of particular people that come to mind. It's almost as if I pray this prayer for them, the other things they can handle. If my focus is on these particular areas, the other will be okay. Now, again, that doesn't mean we can't pray for those other things. But there's something about praying these words that's significant. Interesting how God works. I don't know which day it was now. I'd have to go back and look. But one morning I received a text from an individual who said that he was praying for me. And what he described as praying for me included many of the words of this particular passage of Scripture, to which I simply responded back and said, you must be ahead of me because that's where we're going this week in Colossians. And that's a prayer that he often prays on behalf of people. I said earlier that what we care about, we pray about. And I think it's true. If you want to know what's on someone's heart, listen to their prayers. But I wonder if the reverse of that isn't also true. If what we pray about, we care about. What would happen if I would begin, if you would begin to pray this prayer on the behalf of yourself and others? What would happen if you would just begin to pray this prayer for yourself on behalf of others on a regular basis? Would that begin to change what you would care about? Would their spiritual growth, would my spiritual growth, their faith, my faith, become increasingly more important to me if this was something that I regularly prayed? By regularly and consistently praying this prayer for my children, for my grandchildren, for Cindy, for other people, for you, for me. If I would consistently pray this on behalf of others, would all of a sudden spiritual growth and maturity and strength of faith and knowledge of God begin to raise itself up in terms of what's most important to me as I view life? Is it possible that what we pray about regularly often or does become what we care about the most? Now again, it's not that those things on the list are unimportant or shouldn't be prayed about. But I just find it interesting. Why isn't spiritual growth also on that list? And shouldn't that be at least equally important as the focus of our prayers? In just a moment, we're going to extend an invitation. We're going to sing a song, and it's a time in which we just invite you that if God has been at work in your life and there is just a need for you to respond in faith, to accept Jesus as your Savior, to have Him be your Lord, for you to become His follower, for you to place yourself as His servant, we want to provide a time which you can do that. So when we sing that song, if that's a decision you want to make, we invite you to come. So you're going to be a follower of Jesus. And based on that faith, you receive His grace. And you can be united with Him in baptism. And that's marriage ceremony between yourself and God. So that's going to take place. But before that happens, let me just pray. God, I ask You to fill us with the knowledge of Your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And Father, I pray this in order that we may live a life worthy of the Lord, that we may please You in every way, that we will bear fruit in every good work, that we will grow in the knowledge of who You are, that we will be strengthened with all power according to Your glorious might, so that we can have great endurance and patience, and we will joyfully give thanks to You, because You've qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, the kingdom of light. You've rescued us from the dominion of darkness. You've brought us into the kingdom of the Son You love. And in Him we have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins. Father, this is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.